I hope that you felt loved this morning. If you didn't, there's a father's love letter on the table there from our heavenly dad. He would love to express his love towards you on Valentine's Day. And there are some roses, particularly for all the single ladies. So I'm not asking the men to go and give the single ladies a rose, but somehow I think my wife will begin to pass them out. So times are changing. I mean, people declare undying love. I mean, you read some amazing things on poems that quite stir you. When you read these poems on the internet, you think, wow, you know, if only they could follow through on their profession of undying love. But things change and people change. And so when we look at a couple of slides that Jed's going to put up, but humorous, because times, particularly in technology, technologies change, and so have people with technology. So if you look at this, 1990, we had big TVs and skinny people, but now we seem to have skinny TVs and big people. Times have changed, you know? Maybe the next pictures. And even before smartphones, you know, you took pictures of people and scenes and family, and now it's just like, you know, blobbing on the beach, taking a picture of your toes or your selfies. Selfie culture. And then the trend, you know, the role reversals. I mean, this is me today asking my son or my, how do I fix this? Or how do I, you know, what's this? I can't get my laptop and my phone to sync. And thanks, Ed. Next one. Yeah, and it's like, oh, Dad. And in the 1960s, you know, I used to say to the kids if they weren't doing well, I remember I wasn't a 60s child. Well, I was born in the 60s, but I can remember, you know, if I didn't match up, my parents had something to say to me. But now it's like the parents are taking on the teachers and all the teachers are going, you know, it's your kid, not mine. Yeah. And then even the... Who remembers the Nokia, the brick? Yes, good one, Margaret. You can see it's indestructible. You know, how many have got smartphones and have broken their screens? There's a few, yeah. There's a few broken screens, yeah. Yeah. And so birthdays. You know, people actually had presents. Now it's like you look at you know, you have to look on the internet to see all your notifications, how many people liked you and how many people sent you a birthday greeting, but you're in the dark. No parties. I think that, and then the final one, you know, Google. It's changed our world, changed our lives. You know, it's like you actually talked about things that you didn't know, but now it's like everybody just locks in on their phone. And yet there's one who's unchanging. Thanks, Jed. There's one who's unchanging, and I'm going to go through a few thoughts. Some of them, Spurgeon is a great preacher, Charles Hadley Spurgeon. He spoke about the unchanging nature of God, and some of his points I've found very helpful. But there was a song that Elevation Church have written, and I won't read the full lyrics, but some of the lyrics, oceans will rise, kingdoms will fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. The sun will start to fade, the world will pass away, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And the death will try to come, the perfect love is won, because the word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord stands forever. Your promises remain forever and ever. You won't fade away. You never change. You're unchanging God. You will never change. You're the unchanging God. I love that. Our God is an unchanging God. You would have seen that scripture as you walked in this morning. For I, the Lord, do not change. Isn't that wonderful? It's not like God's in a good mood today and then a bad mood tomorrow. Or, you know, something about him is going to somehow throw us. And he's not. He is who he says he is. And he is the unchanging God. And Jesus said that. Is it the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yesterday, today, and forever the same. Unchanging. So a couple of points. God's nature or his essence is unchanging. It's like who God is. You stay the same through the ages. Do you remember that song? Your love never changes. Yeah, sing it, Johnny. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. There's a contrast here of God's unchanging nature with created order. The fabric of the world that's made is passing away. You know, if you think of a stream, a drop of water, it goes down. And I mean, all of us perhaps have gone to school, I think, yeah. Hydrological cycle. So then there's change, there's evaporation, and then clouds, and then the water. But actually, the river stays full, but it's always changing in its elements. But God is perpetually the same. He's not composed of any substance or material, but He's spirit. And He's pure. That's pure. He's holy. He's essential. His spirit is quite an ethereal spirit. Huh? And therefore, He's unchanging. He remains everlasting the same. I mean, that takes some thinking. That takes some kind of, God, how could you be from everlasting to everlasting the same? There are no furrows in His eternal brow. No laugh lines. What do you call these? Yeah, laugh lines. Crow's feet, sorry, not laugh lines. Sorry, crow's feet. There's no furrows in His brow. No age has stooped Him. It's not like God's, you know, Ancient of Days. He's not stooped over. The years have not marked Him with mementos of their flight. In other words, he's not aging. He sees the ages pass, but with Him it is ever now. With God, it's ever now. He is the great I Am, the great unchangeable. So I love that. God's nature and essence are unchanging. And God's character has not changed. So if you look back, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. From eternity past to eternity future, the same. And the power that God exercised at creation hasn't changed or diminished. You kind of think, well, God, He spoke into being, and He spoke it in such a way that He created this planet Earth. And we think, wow, and everything on this planet. You know, did He expend His power? Did he somehow start losing power in time and beginning to fade? Because, youths grow weary. I'm not a youth, but there's a fading in ourselves. Was God wise when He spoke and created the planet called Earth? When He laid the foundations of the universe? Just as sweet that Charlie's choked on. You're right, Charlie. Yeah. Did God exert wisdom when He planned the way of our salvation? But when you think from eternity past that He marked out an awful plan for His Son to be sent, was He wise then? Was he wise now? Is He wise now? He's not less skillful. He has not less knowledge. His eye, which sees all things, is undimmed. His ear, which hears all the cries and the sighs and the sobs and the groans of His people, is not rendered heavy by the years which He's heard prayers. Imagine every prayer that God's, it's not like He's got weary of listening to prayer. Our prayer or our cries or our sobs. He's unchanged in wisdom. He knows as much now as ever, neither more nor less. He has the same skill. God has the same skill. He has the same infinite knowledge. He's unchanged. He's blessed. Blessed be His name. And He's unchanged in His justice. He's unchanged in that He's just and holy then as He was in the past. And just and holy is He now. Unchanged in truth. What He's promised, He brings to pass. What He said, it shall be done. He's not going to vary in His goodness and His generosity and His kindness of His nature. That's not going to change. Imagine that. Imagine if we could be as dependable, as consistent. Thank you, darling. Third, God's plans have not changed. And this is a classic scripture. God is not human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Does he not speak and then act? Does he not promise and not fulfill? He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. God's plans have not changed. His arm is still mighty to save. Just think of your name engraved in the palms of his hands. That is not going to fade. Friends, that's ever before him. And God's promises have not changed. Number four. And this is where James finds assurance of God's future blessings that are in God. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I mean, how many of you have watched shadows moving and the variation and the turning of a shadow? But God's not like that. God is light, and in his essence there's light. God has no shadow. Does that make sense? If I thought that God's promises would never be fulfilled, if I thought that God would alter some word in his promises, then I would just discard the scriptures. If I thought that those were going to not come through and not be true, then why hold on to them? Actually, God's word and his promises are true. Because I want things that are unchanging. And his promises are. In Hebrews, from the Message translation, and I think we've got the Message translation here. No, we've got the NIV, sorry. This is the Message translation, so it's going to be a bit confusing as if you look at that. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Don't you like that? Abraham stuck it out, and he got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by an appeal to some authority above them, so that if there's any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, an oath. It's by his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run from our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. I love that. Unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken a permanent post as a high priest of us, a high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus is there. Jesus is ever living to make intercession. He's not changing. Who he is isn't changing. Every promise is yea and amen in the Old English. Every promise. It's not yea and nay. It's yea and amen to the glory of God. And I love this one story of a man questioning another man's faith. He answered, you know, what is it about you? You so seem to be so strong in your faith. He said, well, I throw myself flat down on the promise. And he said, there I lie on that promise. But you stand on that promise. He said, you have little to do with it, and down you go when the wind comes. And then you cry, oh, I'm falling, I'm down. Whereas I go down onto that promise. I'm flat on that promise. And that's why I don't hear and I don't say, I'm falling. So let us say there's a promise. It's yours to fulfill. I'm going to go down on that promise. I'm going to prostrate myself on that promise. Because every promise is a rock. Every promise is firm ground. Every promise is not going to pass away. Heaven and earth can pass away, but God's word and God's promises will not pass away. It's an unchanging thing. So almost you want to cast yourself on that promise, on that rock, and rest there in the promise, rather than, well, okay, I'll try and stand on this. Isn't that a new perspective? And then this is, friends, and I'm going to close with these last two points, but this is where there's almost one jarring note to spoil this really exhortational theme. And that's God's unchanging and his threatenings. That, friends, is quite sobering right now. Every promise stands fast. Every oath of the covenant is fulfilled. Then every sinner needs to hear this. Every sinner needs to hear this. Every threatening of God, as well as every promise, shall be fulfilled. And we say, oh, well, God decrees this. God decrees that. God promises this. God promises that. But then what about this decree? And it's from the Message translation. It's actually quite a contemporary translation. And also the Old King James Version. They both use this word. It's a word we don't like to use. In fact, it's a swear word today. We think, no, you don't use that word. That's the most hellish word. You don't use that word. But this is what the scripture says. He who refuses to believe is damned or condemned. You know, we kind of water it down. Oh, they're condemned. You know, almost like that's just, well, that's something, a sentence over their lives. But actually, it's a strong word. You see, you can be as good as you please. You can be as moral as you can. You can be as honest as you will. You can walk as uprightly as you may. But there still stands the unchangeable threatening. He who refuses to believe is damned. And friends, that brings pain to my heart because I think every person who refuses to believe, it's not good people who go to heaven, it's believers who do. Friends, it's not our goodness. It's not our righteousness. It's our trust and our faith in his righteousness and our faith in his blood. And somebody has recently quoted on a tweet, it said, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but dead people alive. And friends, have you experienced that life? Have you experienced that resurrection life? That resurrection power? Because if he didn't rise from the dead, then we have no hope. Friends, that's the question of all questions. Because if he rose from the dead, then in him we have life. In him we have hope. Where else do we go? Where else do the nations turn? Certainly the hope of today is very fickle. It's like leaders fail, politicians fail, governments fail. We see that all around. But God does not fail. And then God's love and faithfulness have not changed. Amen. Lovely to finish on a strong positive. God in his faithfulness. I was singing that this morning. Morning by morning, new mercies do I see. Great is your faithfulness. All that I've needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And that's why I encouraged Chris and Emily with this scripture. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. It's that love and faithfulness. Don't let it leave you. It's like God's love, God's faithfulness. So God is unchanging in the objects of his love. He loves you the same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. No matter what may come what may. Not only in his love, but in the objects of it. God's love could fall on one dear saint, that it might fall on all. And there's no gospel promise as true as that. God's love. If God has loved me once, then he'll love me forever. I can, and I hope this doesn't embarrass Josh, but there was a time in Turkey where it was a dark time. It was a very dark time. It was a preschool, and we're probably going to visit that preschool when we go over with the team in July. And I've mentioned the story a few times, but he came to this preschool in tears most days, and he was very young, 3-4 years old, didn't understand the people, they didn't understand him. And he asked Jesus to take away the darkness. He went into the little bathroom and he just was so like filled with this overwhelming sense of darkness and the place that he was. And Jesus met him in that place. And one of the songs he used to sing and we used to listen to was a gospel story. And one of the songs was, Jesus is my forever friend. And some of those words left a deep mark on him because he used to sing them and he used to get quite emotional when he sang them. Even my wife's getting emotional thinking of, because it was like he needed a forever friend right there. And we kind of, as parents, and I mean, you know, being in a country and a culture that's not necessarily welcoming to your beliefs or the Jesus that you love, and know. The objects of everlasting love never change. Those whom God has called, he will justify, and those whom he justified, he will sanctify, and those who he sanctifies, he will glorify. That's God's word, and I believe that's truth. God's begun with us. He's not going to leave it. He's going to finish what he's started. The good work that he began, he's going to complete it. He is at work, and our God is faithful to complete it. Faithful to complete it in you and in me. So that's my encouragement. God is an unchanging God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that somebody you want to put your trust in? Don't put your trust in yourself, because sometimes we stumble and fall. Sometimes we lack faith. But there's one who's faithful. There's one who loves us. And his love and his enduring love, an eternal love, an everlasting love, a forever friend. Let Jesus be your forever friend. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, it's been a double...